Blessing of a baby. Blessing of a child. The reason that we do this is found in section 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants. In the 19th verse, it says, "Every member of the Church of Christ having children is to bring them unto the elders before the church, who are to lay their hands upon them in the name of Jesus Christ and bless them in his name." Yes, the baby is about to receive that blessing. But that blessing does not relieve the parents of any responsibility that they have toward this child. In the blessing, it's reasonably certain that the Lord will be asked to protect this child all the days of his life. Yet it is incumbent upon the parents provide that protection, to provide that training. They still must train this child up in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know Carter and Ashley. I know that these are goodly parents. And I know that their parents are goodly parents. And I know that their parents are also goodly parents. There's no doubt that this baby, Reese, will be trained up properly in the way that he should go. In the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, the 15th and 16th verses, "And they brought him, and they brought unto him also infants, that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. For of such is the kingdom of God." I know that this child will be trained up in the right way. But we, the congregation, also have a responsibility to this child. We should accept the responsibility of helping to train up this child, to, by example, show him the way that he should go. I, for one, look very much forward to fulfilling that responsibility, and I accept it gladly. I'll close this charge by reading to you the first verse of hymn number 219. Please take this into your hearts. Hymn number 219, the very first verse, if you'd like to follow along. The hymn is entitled, "O God, We Gather Here This Day." And it goes like this: "O God, we gather here this day to bless this child Thou sent our way. The life it has belongs in Thee, Oh, may we treat it tenderly, that it may live for Thee.
Will you turn in your hymnals to number 222? At this time, we will have the blessing of Reese Nolan McVeigh, son of Carter and Ashley McVeigh. The blessing will be by Elder Mike Estill and Elder Ed Turner as spokesman. Will you come forward, please?
Father and our God, in the blessed name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we call upon You in humility, recognizing the beauty of life created that sits before us. And it is in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we call upon You, that You might bless this child, that Reese might know of Your love and might grow in strength, and might see Your love unfolded as the family envelops his life and teaches him the right way to travel. Might You dispatch Your guardian angels that would be by his side all the days of his life, that he might grow in stature, that the parents might recognize his knowledge is growing day by day, even moment by moment. He is learning each step of the way. And so it is, O God, that we find that You are so mindful of these little ones that are innocent from their birth, that You would watch him until his day of accountability, and that he might be guided to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, to know of Your kingdom, to know of Your pathway to travel, and that gate in which to enter into your presence through your Son. And so it is, O God, that we ask that you would too be mindful of the parents as they take on this great responsibility to foster that loving relationship, and that even as brother would be recognize that gift of life that has been presented as they grow up together in this household, knowing, dear God, that you've created him for a purpose and that he is here to live out the full purpose of his creation. We ask, dear God, that you would bless him now and extend his days and comfort him throughout his life. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
About the rest of you, I could to keep listening to that. I sound better than me tonight. The scripture for this evening, or for this day, is familiar to you probably. We've already heard it once. It comes from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. I'd like to talk to you this evening about this scripture and some thoughts that have come to my mind about what it means to be a sacrifice or to sacrifice. You know, the word sacrifice to me means that you give up something that you consider to be of value. And you give it up in the hope, okay, it's not a sure thing, but in the hope that you're going to receive something that's even greater, something that you really want. And so, for some of you coming here this week, that's been a sacrifice. You know, you only get so many days of vacation, and perhaps there were other factors involved, and for you to take off to be here this week, or maybe even just to have your family here, maybe you could not be here, that was a sacrifice. You gave that up. It was, you saw that as something of, obviously that's something of importance, your time off, but you gave it up because you felt your family and you would benefit by coming here this week. And it has to be, the sacrifice has to be something of value. It has to be something that we consider important. If I came home, and I'm going to pick on my son because he's the only one here tonight, but if I came home and I said, Elijah, I'm sorry, you can't mow the lawn tonight because we have tickets to the Royals game. We have to go to the Royals game. That really wouldn't be a sacrifice, would it? He doesn't enjoy the mowing, I don't think. So something of value, something that you treasure. You know, the Israelites, they were under the Mosaic Law, and as you know, under the Mosaic Law, there were different sacrifices that they would offer for different occasions and so on. One of those was a lamb without blemish. In fact, it was a male lamb without blemish. I just think, every time I think about this, or not think about it, but I read different things that had to do with parts of the Mosaic Law and what it is that they did, and you see the symbolism that was so deeply enshrined in that. A male lamb without blemish, not a lamb that had a shorter leg than the others, and it limped, or it had a discoloration on its body, its fur didn't look right, its wool. But a lamb, the best that you had to offer, the best that out of your flock that you could choose, that is the one that you would offer as a sacrifice. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Do we offer up to the Lord our best? I'll let you answer that question. So, in life, of course, we make a lot of sacrifices, don't we? Every day you get up, well, at least not here when you're here, but every day you get up and you go to work, or maybe you go to school, or maybe you're going to hang with your friends. As Elijah says, you're going to hang out, but every day you go and do these things, and you are making a sacrifice, at least when you're going to work and to school. You're doing those things in the hopes that the money that you received for working or the education that you receive, that those things are going to pay off for you, that they're going to benefit you and your family. We make those sacrifices every day if you really look at it. I remember our a brother out of our branch, Brother Bud Logeman. Some of you may know him. He's passed on. Brother Bud, he's known at our branch as he's the one that built the podium here. Not this one, the one out of church. And he also built the communion table. And I remember Bud, he was talking one time about that building his first house, the first house that he and Jerry had. They had saved up money and they bought a plot of land. And Brother Bud, this was the kind of thing that he could do, construction and building things. And so he dug the foundation to that house and then laid the stone, you know, the old foundations. They were with stone, they were concrete. So this was a while back. He said that as he had dug out that foundation, they had come to some rock, a large piece of rock, and he wanted to move it. So he ran down to the local hardware store and got himself a stick of dynamite, and then came back. And I can see Darren's laughing. This is a while back. Stick of dynamite and blew that rock out of there. And then the next thing was to get one of those large steel I-beams. And he purchased that and had that delivered to the house, and it was laid across the foundation there to the house. And then that's what they used to put the floor joist on and build the floor and so on. And Brother Bud, he built this house for him and his wife, and later on they had children. But you know, it was a sacrifice of labor and of love, wasn't it? You know, there was a purpose behind that, and he wasn't really. Perhaps he was doing some of it for himself, but you know, he was doing it for his family, and so. Brother Wayne has already alluded to this. You know, we see this in parenthood, don't we? Everyone here who's been a parent knows this about the sacrifices that parents make. And in particular, I think of the sacrifices that the mothers make. You know, I know when my children were young and I think of the countless hours that my wife spent holding those kids and doing different things for them, and even now she does. She spends a number of hours, even though our kids are much older. She gets up 2 hours before everybody else in the household, and you mothers can relate to this. But she gets up 2 hours before everyone else, and then she has time to work on the laundry and plan the meals out, get out the things for whatever it is we're going to be eating that later that day. She packs our lunches, including mine. And then the evening comes, and there might be homework to work on. There may be projects to complete. There might be some sort of concert or something my kids are in that she is going to go to or that we're going to go to. But it doesn't stop there. She gets home, and she comes home, and then she's got to order the groceries. She orders the groceries from Hy-Vee online, and then she's looking for clothes because the kids need clothes in the fall for school. There are certain items that you need for the house. sometimes late into the night, she's doing these things and tells me to go to bed. I need a little more sleep than she does. But it's a sacrifice of love, isn't it? Those countless hours, thinking of the things that, you know, what about the things she wants to do? Or the things, you know, maybe there's a TV show she'd like to watch. And you think about those countless hours. And we know the fathers, that many fathers do this as well. But all of you men know as well as I do that the mothers usually do more. At least my wife does. And so this thing is an example to us, brothers and sisters. It is it's to help us that we might understand the love of the Father. Because you might say, why does a mother love her children? Why does she? Why does she spend these countless hours in toil and working and ministering to their needs and holding them for hours on end? And you know, sometimes those children, they're not grateful, are they? Maybe later on they realize what their mother or father did for them. Why does she do it? Because she loves them. It's that simple. They're her children. She's the mother. And it's just, his life was one of love and of sacrifice, of ministry to other individuals. You know, I think about in the Book of Mormon where he appeared to the people on this land. And it says that after he had spoken to them, he had this long sermon of him speaking to the people, and he's telling them all of these different things. He gave them, repeated to them, the Sermon on the Mount, as well as many other things. And then he had other duties to go to attend to. And he told them that I need to leave to attend, to visit these other people. But that wasn't the point I was going to bring up. The point I was going to bring up is he looked out over the people there. And it says that his heart was moved with compassion. He couldn't withhold himself. He said, bring your sick. After all that time that he had spent there talking to them, and you think about all the things that he had been through, bring your sick. And he healed each one of them. He had that love, brothers and sisters. He could not hold back. He could not withhold. And so he is our example. Can we be like him? Certainly can in every aspect, but we can try. And you know, I thought of another analogy, and Brother Mark touched on this last night, about this local star we call the sun. He touched on that and said, oh, don't go using my stuff now, Mark. But you know, the some interesting things about the sun and the earth, you know, is the perfect distance from the sun. Probably most of you already know this, but you know, if we were just, you know, speaking in relative terms, several thousand miles a little closer to the sun, oceans would boil or evaporate. And then, on the other hand, if we were several thousand miles a little further away from the sun, the oceans would freeze over. It would be continually winter here. And so the sun holds, because of its gravity, because of its power, it holds the earth in this perfect balance. Perfect balance. And the earth, you know, turns around every 24 hours. It tilts just a little in the summer and then tilts back in the winter. We have the changes of seasons. And how all these. And then you all know this quote that Oakman makes about at the reunion up at Graceland College, the Graceland College professor, that the sun, because of its mass, is continually decreasing. It's being converted into energy for our sake, brothers and sisters, for our sake. The sun is continually dying that we might have life. And this, brothers and sisters, this is in the likeness of Christ. We don't have to look very far, do we? Alma says, I have all things as my witness. Don't have to look very far. And you know, I thought last night as Mark was talking about, he was talking about, I guess maybe that was after the service, we were talking about the lives that we live and that we have led in the past. And I thought about my life and how some of the things that I've done early on when I was younger, when I maybe didn't know as much or thought I knew more, things that were dangerous, things that were wrong. And you know, when you're younger, especially when you're in even younger than that, in your teens, I was old enough to know better, but you think that you're going to live forever. Well, maybe you don't think that, but you think you're somehow above it all. And you know, I think about the things that I did in life then, and my thought process was, well, I can just do these things, I can do whatever it is that I want, and I can just repent later. Any of you ever thought like that? I'm sure none of you have. I can just repent later. I can do what it is that I want in life. I don't have to obey the Lord until later. A friend of mine and I, we did a lot of these things together, and we sat in a service at South Chrysler. When it was on South Chrysler, we sat in the service there, and I don't even remember who was speaking. And you know, sometimes when you're in a service and you're preaching service, maybe even the one tonight, and something catches your attention, it's like it's highlighted, you know, like you're reading it and somebody's put a highlighter through it and it just stands out to you. And that's what happened here as we sat in this service, and I apologize, I've got a thumb through here. To get to scripture, I wasn't planning on reading this. Well, I guess I'll just have to quote it because it's not coming up right. But he said, it is yet day when all can work, but the night cometh quickly, when opportunity for my people to have assisted will have passed. You know, brothers and sisters, we like to think that our will, that our life, what we choose to do, it's really our decision, isn't it? We like to think that we're in charge of our own life. If we decide to serve the Lord, then we can do that. But if we decide we don't want to, then we can do that. But I just told you how it is that the physical things that we see here in our, just in our solar system with the sun, and it holds the earth in this perfect position so that we can live here, it sheds its light, the heat that we have. This is the same way it is spiritually, saints. He holds us in his hands, doesn't he? We may not know it. We may not think it. We may think that we're in charge of our own destiny. And the thing that has been impressed upon me here, brothers and sisters, and I speak in particular to the young people, is that the Lord God wants you to know that he still seeks for men to seek him out. He still desires, as our brother in the class this morning, he desires that we search him out, to know him, to know who he is, to know what he's about, to know our purpose in life. You think that you're young and that you have your whole life ahead of you. It's really in his hands. It is. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to present ourselves, as the scripture says, as a living sacrifice. And I've told you some of a little bit of that, what that is. A living sacrifice, which the scripture says is our reasonable service. I thought those were interesting words. Our reasonable service for everything that he has done. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the power and the message of Jesus Christ. To have your life changed by him. To become a new creature. To no longer be your old self. To no longer commit those same sins that you've committed in the past, to no longer have those same thoughts that you've had in the past, but to be new. Each day as we go to work, as we go to school, as we go to see to be with our friends, perhaps even if we're just out, we think we're alone by ourselves, no one sees us. We are a witness of Jesus Christ. When you entered into that waters of baptism and you made that covenant with the Lord, for those of you who have made it, you pledged yourself there to be this witness, to be this child of Jesus Christ, to represent him. And every time that you do what it is that you want to do or that you think is right or that gives you satisfaction and you don't follow after him, you're no longer that witness. In our conversations, do you abstain from those conversations that take our Lord's name in vain? That uses words that he'd be ashamed of, that's hurtful, that's derogatory, that picks on certain individuals or certain peoples or races. In the music that you listen to, is it music that he'd listen to. If our Savior was here, would he listen to that? Would he watch that TV show? Would he watch that? Would he watch that clip on TikTok over and over again? These things, they gratify our carnal desires. But we ought to give them up. And you know, in the scriptures, in the Book of Mormon, and there's a story, it's one of my favorite stories, it's kind of on the tail end of it, about Alma and the sons of Mosiah. And the sons of Mosiah, they went up to the Lamanites, because they wanted to see if they could convert them. And they told them about the gospel, and there's a lot to that story, but Lamoni, King Lamoni, his father, he wanted to hear the story. He wanted to hear about the gospel. And so some of the sons of King Mosiah came to him and expounded to him. They expounded to him on the meaning of life and about the God who loved him. And Lamoni's father was moved by what it is that they had to say. And he repented. And these are the words that he said. He was speaking to the Heavenly Father, and he says, "I will give away all my sins to know thee." That's what it means, brothers and sisters, when we talk about a living sacrifice. Are you willing to give it up? Every second of the day, every day of the week, every week of the year, are you willing to commit yourself in that to that degree that you'll give up all your sins? And this is what